recording is now started.
Thank you very much, and over to you, Colin.
Great. So as I was saying, welcome everyone to today's meeting. I realize that the agenda is a bit packed, but me and my co-chair, Michael Karanikolas, are happy that you made it to the call. With that, we can dive right in and tackle the first agenda item, which is a bit of thematic planning and talking about the current status of human rights at ICANN. Mike, do you want to kick off this conversation?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Thanks for coming, everybody. A few people are still trickling in, which is great. So I think one of the first things that we wanted to address in this call is to go over some of the areas where we're seeing this being particularly relevant to ICANN's ongoing processes, and potentially map out some potential areas of engagement for the working party as a result of that. So in terms of initiatives explicitly related to human rights, one of the first ones in an area which is a current topic of significant debate is the GDPR. Obviously, that anybody who's been paying attention has seen a lot of intensive debate going back and forth, not only across ICANN, but even within the different stakeholder groups. There's been debate within the NCSG and within the CSG to try to arrive at common positions with significant divergences within each stakeholder group. The GDPR question is all obviously centrally relevant to the right to privacy. So there are strong human rights impacts to be considered. Their privacy is really at the core of this discussion, I think. So there's potentially a lot to examine with regard to ICANN's approach to that and how to balance privacy rights against other interests that are being expressed. In terms of other processes that are particularly relevant, another area that was brought to our attention was through the Rights Protection Mechanism, the RPM Working Group. There has been a lot of discussion about how freedom of expression and other rights associated with domain ownership play out in that, and as to whether the ability to, debates on the human rights impacts within that working group started really early on with questions about whether or not domain names themselves were an aspect of freedom of expression, where positions being expressed on both sides. But since then, there's been a lot of discussion about the freedom of expression implications of these mechanisms for transferring ownership over and for staking out claims. And as a result of that, I think there's also potentially avenues for us to engage and provide a human rights perspective that may not necessarily be expressed in the current discussions. There's also registration, kind of related to that is registration data services, again, which is so the PDP GTLD registration data service is also on our list of potential areas where human rights potentially impact. And then also coming out of Workstream 2, the different thematic subgroups of human rights is an obvious one, but also transparency also have a human rights aspect to them. So there's a lot of different areas to potentially engage on. So with that as an initial mapping, I guess I can open it up and ask if there are any other, that's what we had isolated. Are there any other suggestions for areas where ICANN could potentially be, where we could potentially be engaging? Okay. With nothing further, I will pass it.
I saw that David had had a question about dialing in. Was that because you wanted to make a suggestion, David? Okay, great. All right, do you have anything else to add, Michael, on that topic, or shall we move to the next agenda item?
No, I think that's good for now, and we can potentially revisit that when we look at our avenues forward.
Great. Okay, so next we were going to talk about the model that we've been working on for incorporating human rights impact assessments into policy development processes at IN and the GNSO. I'm going to paste a link to this working rough draft initial sketch in the chat. You guys can take a look. The most recent update is that after this was presented in several sessions, the CCWP, along with a GAC working group on international human rights during ICANN 61, we thought that it might be good to have some sort of rebranding because, as you may or may not know, ICANN, the organization, is undergoing a human rights impact assessment of its own activities. So we thought that it might be a bit confusing if we were also calling this a human rights impact assessment. So we've been toying with the idea of rebranding it as a human rights considerations step into the PDP itself, into the policy development process itself. So maybe we can turn to Sudushi, who has been doing quite a lot of work on this and was the initial drafter. Sudushi, do you have anything that you'd like to add or comments to make on this?
Hi, Colin. Thanks. Hi, everyone. Just a quick update on how we're thinking about it in addition to what Colin said. Like she just mentioned, we had the chance to get feedback on this model at the last ICANN meeting, which was really useful because not only get feedback from within our constituency group, but we also managed to speak to people within the GAC and the ALAC and also the wider ICANN community. And so we've been trying to incorporate some of the concerns that people had and also work on some of the things that did get positive feedback to try and make this model more workable and also scalable. I think the intention going forward is to have more people engage with it to either say that this is not workable or this is. But in order to do that, something that we've been trying to do is to make it workable across ICANN. And that's really the thinking behind shifting it also from human rights impact assessments to human rights considerations, because while there are many different formulations of human rights impact assessments within ICANN, we wanted to make sure that this isn't creating an additional obligation. It's just tacking on a few steps onto existing processes, which I think within ICANN is always a good idea to reduce procedure and to reduce work. So happy to answer any questions, but that's it for me for a bit.
Great, thanks, Sudushi. I have one question. I was wondering if we are going to try to increase the scalability or be able to kind of apply this more widely to the ICANN community, do you think that it would be useful to perhaps do mock applications of this model or of this human rights consideration step onto existing or even completed PDPs or other functions of other SOs or ACs?
Yeah, I think that's actually a great idea because we can also see what the model looks like in practice and figure out what actually works and what doesn't. We have been thinking of reaching out to chairs of particular PDPs to try and see how we can integrate these steps in, if at all, even if it is just a mock exercise, if we can engage with them. And I think we should figure that out before the next meeting so we'd have a better sense of it before then.
Great. So another question that I had was, what would be the potential for trying to apply this for ACs? I think that maybe for SOs it might be a bit more, especially those that have more defined procedures. Is this model applicable to ACs? Is that going to be difficult?
So it wasn't built keeping in mind ACs because, as you can see, we've used the GNSO's PDP process. But some of the feedback that we got from the GAC was actually really interesting. Jorge in particular, I recall, was quite interested in it and thought it was workable. But he did mention that he would want to look closer into the model to try and figure out how that could fit in. We also had people at the last session from the ALAC who said this was interesting, but it was different from their particular processes that would be unique to them. I think the key here is to get this model sorted out and figure out what works and what doesn't for us, and then try and make it more scalable. I think it's very much a linear process, at least how I look at it.
Great, thanks for that. So then in terms of things that we could be working on before the next ICAM meeting or in the near future, we could be trying to get additional feedback on the model from different members of the community, as well as explore the potential for accepting mock applications. What is that there? Okay, great. Does anybody have
a Colin, I think Neil has his hand up.
Oh, yes, he does. Neil, come on in.
Hi, all. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. So this thing is, I've been talking about it with people from different ACs, and I think a very big difference with the SOs is the aspect of time. The GAC mostly does its work at ICANN meetings. So if we want to apply this model on the advice that the GAC gives, then it needs to be processable within that one meeting. And as you know, it's mostly Wednesday evening when they come up with their communique. So somehow it should be built in into that process. So, and with the whole GNSL PDP, of course, takes it longer. So I think it asks for a different approach.
Great, that's a really helpful comment. Thanks. And actually, this is one of the reasons why I think that it might be a good idea to move towards this trying to incorporate or rebranding as human rights considerations rather than a human rights impact assessment, just because within that framework, it seems like we would be able to tailor things or have a wider breadth in which to operate. So that we might be able to offer different versions that prioritize different lines of thinking based on the procedures and the considerations of each SO and AC, all underneath the same window or the same umbrella of human rights considerations.
And hopefully that would be a move that would make that more flexible. Niels, is your hand up again, or is that an old hand?
An old shrivelly hand, sorry.
That's okay. I do see that David has his hand up. David, come on in.
Thanks very much, Colin. It's David McCauley. I am on the staff of VeriSign, and I was just wanting to comment on your comment about considerations versus impact statements and Neil's comment about the GAC, which I thought was a good one because he's right about the way the GAC works. But it seems to me that it would not necessarily be a requirement that whatever it is, either a consideration or an impact assessment, be done by the GAC in one meeting in this sense, that when they issue their GAC advice, there would be sort of an understanding that the GAC would then undertake a human rights consideration or impact assessment or whatever it is, and issue one in the future. And it's, you have to keep in mind that when the GAC issues policy advice, the board generally then puts that on a scorecard, and it's not an immediate reaction from the board. I mean, there is some time in which this is going to be considered, processed, et cetera, et cetera. And so it seems to me that whatever the human rights element is, it could be considered by the GAC, and if an amendment or an elaboration needs to be made, they could certainly do it. So, I appreciated both comments. Thank you.
Great, thank you for that.
If I can respond, I really like the point David makes, but then we would need to understand what the status of this would be, because if the impact assessment would change, would that have like, would the GAC advice already be applicable, or would it, so to say, would the GAC advice not be valid until the impact assessment had been done? Because I think the GAC wouldn't agree with that, and if it's an a posteriori impact assessment, then I'm not sure how useful it would be if it cannot change the advice or the status of the advice.
So if I may, I think that we're identifying some really great operational problems that that will need to be worked around. I think that both points are really valid, and maybe the way that we could approach this is having some sort of more comprehensive human rights considerations methodology that would be applied on the larger scale, like on the board level, in reviewing the different communiques and different recommendations. But then, in addition, we could have a smaller kind of almost like trying to instill a reflex into the conversations, the shorter one-hour conversations. That way, we're trying to hit it at both angles. Okay, great. Does anybody else have any other comments or questions or visions for including human rights considerations in ICANN procedures? All right. I will take that as a no. So maybe we can continue pressing on through our agenda and discuss the upcoming CCWP HR session, which will be held at ICANN 61 in Puerto Rico. Michael, can you remind me when, on what day and what time the session will be held?
I can if you just give me one second.
Okay.
It's either the Wednesday or the Thursday morning.
I believe it was Wednesday morning. Well, while he's searching for the specifics, Wednesday morning, thank you, Mariam. We had quite a bit of back and forth trying to get the optimal time for our meeting, and we think that we found it. So we had a couple ideas about different things that we could do and different things that we could present or talk about at our next session. So I will go ahead and give you guys a little bit of an overview of our thinking there. So in addition to giving thank you, okay, so it is from 8:30 until 10:15 a.m. on Wednesday morning. Great. So in addition to kind of asking a similar question to a wider audience about where we should be active and where people who are concerned about human rights should be dedicating their time in terms of PDPs and all of the different ongoing ICANN processes. This is kind of a hard landscape to navigate at times. And especially when people are pressed with time, it would be really great to be able to help people know where to focus their energy. So in order to help us along this quest, we are working, Vidushi is actually going to be helping us develop a scoping and mapping paper to examine the different ongoing PDPs especially in, you know, as Workstream 2 on ICANN accountability comes to an end. We're hoping that maybe there will be some rights-minded people with a, maybe a bit more free time in their agenda that they can curb towards impacting, making positive impacts in other areas of the community. Maybe Zadishi, would you like to come back in and just give a little bit, a really brief overview on your thinking or approach to the scoping and mapping paper?
Yeah, I think you summed it up pretty well. I think when we were talking about this within Article 19, we realized that usually human rights is discussed within the CCWG on accountability because that was where a lot of the work was happening. But we wait for the framework of interpretation to go through SLNAC approval until it actually, until the bylaw actually comes into effect. There's kind of a period where there isn't anything happening in terms of policy development apart from PDPs. And so when I looked online to find a resource for human rights within ICANN and how people can engage with the different, with the many PDPs that are presently underway. I don't know if that does not exist. And so that's really the thinking behind building this kind of tool, which will be useful for people who are...
Dishi, I don't want to interrupt, but I just wanted to let you know that your audio is cutting in and out, so we haven't really heard the past minute or so. Uh-oh. I think that we might have been robbed of that explanation, unfortunately. But yes, we'll see if she comes back. Maybe she'll be able to rejoin us and give us a round two of that explanation. But I think that where she was going with that was yes, to try to give people the opportunity to see where different human rights might be affected by different PDPs, and then structure their time and engagement accordingly. So, well, maybe we can get Zadishi back.
Hi, I'm back.
Oh, great. Okay, great.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. We missed the second half of your explanation. After you were talking about the cross-community working group, we kind of started cutting off there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I think there's a bit of a lag.
No, we can hear you.
Like, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Great. Yeah, so I was just saying that after the CCWG wrapped up its work, a tool to talk about where human rights are relevant and where people who are interested in human rights can engage with ICANN without getting lost in the madness, if I may use that word. And so the thinking really is to build a tool that will help people, A, scope out exactly where they can add in their expertise or interest in human rights in a way that is constructive, and B, kind of give them a lay of the land of these particular PDPs would really benefit from X, Y, Z, whereas these are at a different stage and you can do A, B, C. I think because this would be useful for people who are within the ICANN sphere already and are trying to decide how to divide their time now that the CCWG on accountability is wrapping up, but it's also really useful for people who are looking to get into ICANN. And I think that that is really the thinking behind why we're doing this scoping. Any suggestions or you know, feedback on this would be really great. Thanks.
Neil, I see that you have your eyes see that you have your hand over. Come on.
Yeah. Thanks so much for this initiative. It sounds really great and really interesting. I was also wondering whether you have put any thought in the operationalization of the FOI, because as Michael and David can probably attest, the steam has really gone out a bit of the CCWG Workstream 2. The subgroup that still have open topics really have a hard time getting quorum even at the subgroup calls. So I think we won't get much more than the framework of interpretation out of that process, which is fine because that's what it was set out to do. The question is, though, how are they operationalized in the different SOs and ACs? And we talked about that a bit before, about the model and calling it considerations, but how will we get sufficient support within the SOs and ACs to further build on it? So if we would like to use the session in Puerto Rico to build a bit, to create a new forum to continue discussing this, I think it's important to invite SO and AC leadership as well as the people active in the human rights subgroup in the CCWG to become part of it and to engage with them, as to say, to take that momentum and that expertise to help build on that, just as a suggestion.
Yeah, that's actually a fantastic suggestion. Thanks, Neil. I think definitely getting people from the SOs and ACs to engage with the human rights considerations document and also, you know, potentially this new report is important. I think you bring a good point about how to keep the momentum going with respect to the framework of interpretation. In the way I looked at it is that we will know, and maybe this isn't too accurate, but till it has actually been approved, I don't know how to engage with that particular piece of policy development. So this could very well be that I just haven't thought of all the different options, but it would be really useful to hear your thoughts on that. Thanks.
I think this is actually... Go ahead.
I'm not sure, so maybe I think David could perhaps better even answer this than I can, but at the moment that the Workstream 2 report, after of course there's another round of public comments, gets accepted and gets into force, then people will need to abide by it. So actually we need to think before it comes into force already about thinking about how are we going to ensure that ICANN will be in line with its new bylaws and the FOI. So actually, there is quite a bit of urgency to get this activated. Wouldn't you say, David?
Yeah, actually, thanks, David has his hand up. Come on in. Yeah.
Thanks. It's David McCauley again. I'm somewhere between Badushi and Niels on this. I think Niels makes a good point. It is urgent. On the other hand, I'm involved in a number of Workstream 2 subgroups, and I know that one of the rules that we're working to now from the Workstream 2 staff leadership is that the reports basically have to be final by March the 2nd, or else a recommendation is not going to make it. And the reason I say that is from March the 2nd, then the work is going to turn towards making sure that the various 8 subgroup reports are consistent. That's going to take some time. There'll be another public comment sort of on the consistency effort. But it struck me, and I while I don't disagree, I agree that Niels with Niels that it's important to keep the focus on and things like that. It seems to me that the optimal point to sort of re-energize SOs and ACs may be ICANN 62 rather than ICANN 61, because, as Badushi said, that's basically going to be when the board is going to approve the final report of the Workstream 2. And so it's a big moment in a sense. The other thing I'd say is, and I'm saying this as the chair of a group that's leading reform efforts on the IRP, it's just hard to get any time to do anything at ICANN 61 right now. The schedule is full. I'm involved in both the CCNSO and the GNSO. I'm a participant in CCNSO and a participant in the Registry Stakeholder Group. I mean, the schedules are just almost full for Puerto Rico. And so getting the attention of the SOs in Puerto Rico would be quite an effort. But substantively, I agree with the point that it's important to keep the attention on. The groups have to look toward what it means to them. They can't simply lay fallow for months. But there might be other ways to sort of to do this. I don't know. But those are the considerations that strike me. Thank you.
Thanks for that feedback, David. We were thinking before, just to piggyback on what you were saying, I think that ICANN 62 is a great time to kind of be kicking things into effect, also because ICANN, the organization's human rights impact assessment, will be released. So I think that it will be a really good moment to capitalize on what I hope will be a bit of a buzzword in the community to get these balls rolling. So ideally, what we will be able to do in ICANN 61 is more of thinking about presenting the scoping and mapping paper and thinking about how to adopt the human rights considerations for each SO or AC in so that they would be able to have at least a plan for how we can start implementing or operationalizing the human rights core value by the time it kicks into effect. So I think that we're all of our plans are actually compatible here.
Just one second. I think that just the point that Niels made in the chat was a good one, and that certainly it would be. Michael Karaniklis, for the record. I think it would be useful to at least have discussions with the main actors, to sort of put them on notice and to put this on the radar screen and maybe get the thought process going. Although we do see in the chat that. The HRIA will be released after ICANN 62, rather than at ICANN 62, but I don't know that necessarily has to delay our work on this. I think that we should be taking our issues forward regardless. Thanks.
Well, thanks. So this was actually in our little... Great. Thank you. Thank you for that, Betsy. Thank you for that update. So just to recap what we've been talking about for the CCWP HR session structure, we were talking about the scoping and mapping paper, and then an update on the efforts to incorporate human rights considerations into the different SOs and ACs, the status of the human rights impact assessment. Perhaps we might be able to get someone to come speak on to speak about the status of that. Betsy, if you have any suggestions for who might be able to do that, we are all ears. And then finally, I think that incorporating some element of outreach, either inviting people from the different SOs or ACs to contribute to our session, or trying to, schedule permitting, grab them on the side and just ask how human rights would affect them, how we can make this more relevant, particularly for the business constituency, for example, then I think that would be great. So if anyone has any specific suggestions for different constituencies, actors, or people that we could reach out to in order to further our connections with SOs and our connections and our understandings of SOs and ACs and how they can operationalize human rights, then that would be more than welcome.
This is Niels Van Hoever. I think we could invite the GOG Working Group on Human Rights and International Law to participate and ask them how they think now it seems that that they have contributed to the subgroup discussion on human rights, how they think it could what it could look like, and then invite some horizon views from the GAC to ask them what that would look like, and potentially also do that with ALAC, for instance, Bastiaan Goslings, who has also been part of the subgroup there, so that we perhaps even get some proactive sketches or suggestions to get the ball rolling from that side. And of course, David and Greg would perhaps be invited for such a thing. And if not, maybe it could be a breakfast meeting or something. Unfortunately, I won't be in Puerto Rico, but I think that is definitely something the leadership of the CCWP may have to do.
Excellent. Thank you for that very constructive feedback, Neil. All right. If we don't have any more feedback or contributions on the topic of outreach, then perhaps we can skip to number 4.4 on our agenda, which is fostering civil society collaboration to further human rights. So the idea behind this agenda item was that there are quite a few civil society organizations, more perhaps now than before, active in ICANN. So I know, in addition to Article 19 and EFF and CIS India, I suspect that there are a few more out there. I'm not sure if everyone will be physically in Puerto Rico, but I thought it might be interesting to get people who are involved in either civil society organizations or human rights-related NGOs, et cetera, together in person to discuss objectives in ICANN and make sure that we're all on the same page. And perhaps in that way, with a bit of coordination, we could all utilize our scarce resources in the most efficient manner. So, and obviously this would be something that would complement the different constituencies like NCSG and NCUC, and only and ideally work to better inform and strengthen our participation within those constituencies and not necessarily exist, supersede them, just as a clarification. So I wanted to ask participants if they knew of any kind of any community members or civil society participants that might be keen on joining forces in such a meeting. From David in the chat, we have the question, is ISOC active in this area? To which I answer, I'm not sure. Is that, I will note this as a potential area to explore. In addition to the other organizations that I mentioned before, which were Article 19, ESF, and CIS India. All right, we've got a few other suggestions that are cropping up from the chat. I will read these out loud just in case people can't see them. So we had from Neil, Nicholas Sadler, who was based in Geneva. We had from Michael Elsa Saad from the Saad Gulf Center, from the Gulf Center of Human Rights. And yet from APC, although she might have changed affiliation. They're all great suggestions that I'm noting down. And then obviously, we would hope to be able to entice these people into coming to our wonderful sessions as well. All right, we've got another Center for Communications Government in Delhi. And the Observer Research Foundation. Great. Thank you for those suggestions. All right. I think that this brings us to the final item on our agenda, which is any other business. Does anybody have any comments, questions, concerns, thoughts they'd like to share? All right. I'm not seeing any hands. So I suppose we will go ahead and close this meeting a bit before time, unless you have anything else to add, Mike?
No, thanks very much, everybody. I look forward to taking this forward and to further engagement in the run-up and in Puerto Rico.
Great. And if anybody has any thoughts in particular about operationalizing the human rights core value, then you know where to find us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.